All right, welcome to the Side Sound Podcast with Lucio and Alex. Today we have our new guest. This is a new chapter in the podcast. Let's welcome Evan on.
Hello, I'm Evan Horn Munoz. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, so this here is basically a new chapter where we try to dissect our lives and see where we're at right now and then see where we're going in the future and then try to find out the ways that we can probably help you in the future and try to get you into a better place. So, Alex, you want to open it up to the conversation?
Evan, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me where you're from and tell me where you are right now in life.
Awesome. I am originally from Puerto Rico. I came here when I was around 2 years old. I lived in Plano and then I moved here and at four and been here pretty much all my life. So I enjoy drawing. I enjoy communicating with people, helping people however I can. Definitely mathematics. I like doing solutions to problems. And yeah, that's why another reason why I'm in the computer field right now. I do like to play basketball. I haven't played in a minute. I do like to play card games, board games, any types of games. So that's a lot. That's pretty much all bit about me. I like music and that's pretty much everything I'm there.
You go to UTA, right? So you're in college right now. End of first year.
Yes, end of first year.
How was that so far?
It was a big adjust. Definitely changed a lot about me. Gave me a brand new perspective, a new responsibility, brand new ways of moving forward, new steps. Gave me a whole different work ethic that I didn't have before when I was in high school. It definitely pushed me a lot harder, and honestly, it's a lot better now. And high school is very crazy. Yeah. So.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest thing you've learned from coming out of high school and now doing that first year, and what would you take from that?
Honestly, it's productivity. Time management is the biggest thing that I never could get myself to really do. Once every day from coming from high school, I would go home, spend at least 2 hours on my phone and just knock out, maybe even sleep for 30 minutes. And then I would start working like 8 p.m., 7 p.m. It was the worst ethic I ever had. I also didn't have a job through senior year, and I had double block early release, so I also wasted time on that. It was a bit of a adjust to even get from there to now. First semester of college, started a new job.
Oh gosh!
Now got in a relationship the next month, and it was so much happening. And if I'm college classes, it was definitely a big adjust, and never had something like that before. So. It's definitely changed, and I feel a lot more productive and a lot more, fulfilled.
Yeah, fulfilled in my life.
You see, this is why I don't have a girlfriend yet. Yeah, this is the reason why. I mean, I'm living a stress-free life right now.
That's poor. No, yeah.
Y'all team have the girls, but y'all have the most stress. And I don't have it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, it was definitely at first getting to know her and making time for it was a big adjust. It just kind of happened naturally, but also a big distraction. A lot of phone calls, a lot of time that I did not use for school.
Yeah.
But eventually, I mean, the next semester was a fresh start. The second spring semester, that changed drastically for both of us. When I met her, she wasn't in a good place with her studies, and we got to basically improve our lives drastically from the second semester. We reflected on it that Christmas break, and after that, we changed our lives completely. We definitely devoted ourselves to Christ and have moved and taken steps to improve our time management for education and our school and our majors. He actually changed majors to the same major I am.
Oh, shoot.
That was her decision. That was not because I told her to do it. Oh, sure. That was her own decision. She was in mechanical engineering, and now she's doing computer as well.
Do you you guys go to the same college?
We do, yeah. I met her at UTA. Actually, I want to talk a little bit about it. When I met her, I just thought she was attractive in my class and in my math class. And I'm just going to sum it up really quick. I worked at Chipotle at the time, and I still work at Chipotle right now. I just talked to her and I was like, hey, can I get your, I just went up to her one day. Can I get your Snapchat or number? And she goes, she gave me her Instagram. And then she asked me where I worked. And I was like, Chipotle. She's like, you're lying. I'm like, I don't know. I know. And she's like, no, you're stalking me or something. I'm like, no. She also worked at Chipotle. Just coincidentally. So, and she, it's a different Chipotle. But it's the craziest coincidence.
Law is dominant, right?
Yeah. And one of the funniest things, the reason I even went up to her, because I'm a big fan of anime. I like One Piece. So she wore a One Piece sweatshirt. And I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to her. So that really made me talk to her. But yeah, that was crazy. We have a lot of similarities in what we like. So.
And just one more question. How long have y'all been dating now?
It's been 7 months since we've been dating. 8 months since I've known her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is she still at UTA right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She's actually a year ahead of me, but she's like a year and a half older than me.
Okay.
She's 20 right now. I'm 18.
Oh, we got you. And what got you into the computer science? Like, have you always been interested in computer science? And how did you all both get on that track?
Yeah, so my brother, his name is Chris. He's 10 years older than me. He went to UTA as well. And his life right now, he was able to get a 2-story house really quickly, like a very nice, stable, financially stable life with his wife. Very young, at 25, 24, around there, he got a house in that age. And I was like, I mean, that's not the reason why I want to do something that makes me happy. And definitely something like that, computer. It's something that can get you money, but right now there's some issues with getting a job. So, but we'll see the outlook when it comes out. But right now that was mainly the reason I saw my brother doing this, and I thought it was interesting. But I'm a little bit different. It's computer engineering, so it's a bit of the computer science, which is just coding software, and half of it's electrical. So I get half and half of both. It's a little bit harder than what he's doing, but overall it's around the same, and I get an idea of what to do with. Basically, it's the reason it's hard is like transferring or like making the code able to go to the product almost. It's a hard transition to go from just a digital thing to a physical object.
Right.
So that idea is the hardest part, and that's why computer engineering is not very popular. Well, or the jobs are very specific, I should say. So.
So how did you like come upon this, like, was out of all the careers that you could pick, you picked computer engineering?
Yeah.
So how did you come upon it?
Really just I liked math and I liked solving problems. And I think looking at it, it was mainly math classes and science classes. So from that, I was like, this is kind of already what I'm interested in. It's what I find most satisfaction in. I love solving a problem, although it's hard. It's very satisfying to see the solution and finally get to that point. And it's always been a big factor with me. Actually, I didn't even mention this. The first class I took, I actually was thinking about switching majors. Like the first week of college, I was like, I walked in there, sat in the class, and I saw the screen. It looked depressing. I was like, it's just coding. I'm like, it's just a black screen with letters. I'm like, am I going to do this when I'm older? Like for the rest of my life? Am I just going to sit here and look at a screen?
But those are good questions to have though, like when you're in those moments, like because you don't want to do this forever, and then you're like, dude, I hate my job. I hate
it. Right. Yeah, so I thought about that the first week, and then but then after I did find a satisfying moment whenever I could figure out a piece of code, or it almost I could apply math to it, and it was a big eye-opener because it was just the first week classes. And I talked to my dad and he was like, well, you know, give it a little bit more time, and like no pressure at all. He said, change whatever you feel is right, you know, and whatever you want to do. And so I was like, it's the first 2 weeks. So I was like, I'm going to give it some more time to see if I really like it or not. But I mean, so far I'm still in a maybe indecisive moment, but, really more like have a liking to it. I mean, if I could do right now, some main reasons could be because it's financially supportive. I mean, it does pay well, but out there's not another career where I feel like there is that one fits that type of solution finding that I find a lot of comfort in with coding.
Sure.
So And I also do like the electrical aspect. That's the only part though that I've been having difficulty with, where I'm like, am I really gonna enjoy this? So I don't know. But computer science, the coding, I do enjoy a lot. So that aspect of finding a problem, like just from a text on paper to transitioning to an entire code of process, it's an algorithm of each line to coincide for the code to read and to output. It's a big process to have each function to know what to put for just a simple line of code. Or a line of instructions. It's very complicated, but really it's a language to learn. So it's just it builds on every single day. But the moment you miss something, you can't just miss it. It's like math. So it's like you can't just miss a function because it's gonna be used for the rest of your life. So it's hard for that reason. But as long as you keep up with it and keep disciplining yourself to learn that one function that you missed, you should be able to have a good understanding. And for me, I actually like that most. So it's not the hardest aspect is gathering the knowledge of every step. You have to know every step. You can't mess with. So
I've done a little bit of coding.
Yeah.
For me, I didn't enjoy it at all. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Yeah.
But I can see like where it's very like methodical.
Yeah.
And I see that. And I've tried the Java. I've tried Python as well. I downloaded it on that Mac.
Yeah.
And what I do with it is I try to do a lot for like AI editing. Mm. I'm trying to figure out how we can like do these podcast episodes and just get them streamlined. So I can definitely see how much practice you have to do in this coding area. My question to you is, since you need all this practice and this experience, what have you done? Like, have you had any internships or something that could help you apply this, like Java and all these languages and the actual?
Not yet. I haven't applied for any internships yet. That's something on my mind. I mean, I'm thinking second year, towards the middle of it, I'll definitely look into that a lot more. But really, this first year has been getting some off classes like chemistry or some other off classes that weren't specific, major specific, getting those out of the way in some major specific classes. And that was the first year of college for me. So it gave me a taste of what coding is going to be like and what this field is going to be like. So so far, I am in a space where I am enjoying it so far. And the main thing that I enjoy is just that satisfaction once that output is running. Like once you get the code running, the errors are the most frustrating thing. And the terminal telling you that is, that's the thing where I'm like, do I want to quit? Do I not want to do this?
Because
it almost feels impossible without looking at something else. Like without looking up something, you almost can't figure out how to code. But that's kind of the way you learn. You kind of have to, the moment you feel like, oh, well, or the moment you realize you don't have this piece, like this one function or that you know of, you just have to look at it. Once you know it, you kind of have to just keep training yourself to know it. And then it does play out easily. Right now, I'm just in C. So just the basic language that they started with. So Java, I'm learning next semester. So I'll definitely get more, but I didn't do any of it. I didn't do any types of coding in high school. So this was a whole new page to start with.
Yeah.
No knowledge. So my brother has helped me throughout some of this, and I've been able to ask him questions.
Sounds good. Is he like, since he's further in, that you can do Udemy a lot?
I do occasionally. Like the first semester, yes. The second semester, I've been able to get it on my own more often. I've been able to not have as much as relying on him as I did the first semester. But yeah, it's been a little bit easier to go about it with, you know, just being able to tell AI, how are you able to get to this, to another place, or just one, so one simple function that AI can tell you about. So that's why AI has been my best friend. So yeah, so far I haven't needed to go to my brother for a lot more than that.
And do you code at all, anything on your own, or is like a hobby of yours at all, or has it turned into?
And that's what I want to turn it into, because if I don't create it a hobby, I won't enjoy it in my future. So I have to make it a hobby. And my brother has been able to do that. He's created a game. He's currently creating a card game online. It's a it's a Puerto Rican game called, or no, it's a Spanish game called Brisca. So he's been able to enjoy it in his own. I haven't, and I haven't had as much. It almost feels like a task, and I don't want it to because I want to make it fun, and it is fun. The moment I get to sit down, and I've had assignments where I'm like, okay, well, I have to sit down and just read this paragraph and make an entire code out of it. And so it's just a simple instruction to do that. And I honestly, I found enjoyment in doing it. But to have my own hobby of it hasn't been a thing yet, which I'm afraid of. But I think I will get to that point soon. I mean, I've wanted to this month. I've just been really busy with work.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also enjoying other aspects that I haven't got to in a long time because college is taking over all the games and everything that I got to enjoy.
I definitely feel that, like, once you're in, like, the college, like, there is no room to, like, get on with the boys online.
No, but anymore. Well, not a single time. I haven't got to do one time. Like, it's been, honestly, I kind of, like, at some points I'm like, was it even that fun? It's fun to socialize with those people, but over an online game, I'd rather see them in person. But yeah, like, that, those moments, I mean, I miss, but then I'm like, I almost feel better doing the work that I have. Like, I have an assignment to do. So it feels better to do that than sometimes do that. But yeah, it does suck sometimes. You know, there's days where I do not want to sit down. But
in 10th grade, I think I played all the video games, man. I played the, like, Clash of Clans, Clash Royale before night. And then I said, maybe this is affecting my grades because
I
was both blind.
Exactly. It affected my grades. So yeah, it's just not right now. Like, I had a routine of every day to at least give 30 minutes to a game. That was all in high school.
Yeah.
And that's to generate the currency used for Fortnite. And V-Bucks. I guess V-Bucks on Save the World. I have that. And so I've been able to do that for 30 minutes each day. Now that's not a thing anymore. So it's like, it hurts me sometimes, but I'm like, right now there's nothing in Fortnite that I don't have anyone to play with either. Everyone's busy in their own lives now. So it kind of happened naturally to where it was amazing for a while and now it's not. And so right now there's way more bigger priorities, especially with a relationship. I have a new future. So new goals.
How have you been able to, like, work with, like, with me, right? I work at a Whataburger right now. I go to work in UNT and back and forth. Like,
yeah.
How do you keep up with, like, Chipotle and UGA at the same time? Like, is that difficult for you?
At times, it's very flexible. I've been able to get coverage whenever I needed it for a test. I have a good manager right now. Well, I'm decent.
What do you do at Chipotle? Like, are you the flipper?
I make the burritos. I do online orders. I do the line. I can do dishes. I'm about to start doing grill. I make chips.
They teach you a little bit of everything, right? Eventually.
Once you start there, they teach you everything, whatever. But I was kind of just put on the line immediately.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah. So it was, but I learned quick. I was probably one of the best learners for that, is what they told me.
And how long have you been working there?
It's been since August. So
since August,
9 months.
Okay, 9 months.
It's been 9 months.
So you're just like, I'm going to go in, work, and do college.
It was never seen.
Like, I don't think.
Like, literally, like, 2 days before was my first day at work, and then I had college. And then now we're over. And I'll work every, now I'm working. So I work around, I try to work 15 to 20 hours a week.
So yeah, okay.
So that's like the ideal. But then there's days where I had 2 tests in the week or 3 tests, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't do these shit.
Yes.
So,
when did you get the girlfriend?
Huh?
When did you get your girlfriend?
So that was literally exactly a month into college.
Like,
so
that's September.
You're at a fight, and now
oh god.
Yeah. So it went from August 18th, started a job in college, like at the same time. September 18th, I met her, and that was a whole. It was insane. It was actually like the most stressful time. The first day was the most stressful, like, with college and work. And then when I met her, it wasn't stressful. It kind of relieves a lot of stress to have a person to talk to.
Okay.
But it was also a lot of time I was spending to talk to that person. So it was, definitely a new transition. I lost so much sleep. That first semester, I would go drive 30 minutes with 2 hours of sleep to an 8 a.m. lab, chemistry lab. And that was 3 hours long, or 4 hours sometimes. Those were the days that sucked the most. But the good thing is I only commute 3 days a week.
3 days this semester.
Yeah, 3 days every week. I try to just have all my classes in one day for my schedule in Hong Kong. So I only come here for those days. But yeah, that 8 a.m. the 8 a.m. lab, I'm never doing an 8 a.m. class again. That was the worst.
That's what I hear. I think I'm taking 9 a.m. this year. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, don't take it. Don't take those early classes. But I got to do it. I don't. It's the only ones I have work. Yeah,
man, I'm scared because those 8 a.m. classes were so hard. I would wake up at 5:30 in the morning. And I would literally, I went to bed at 3 a.m. Like sometimes. It was rough. But
you should share us your schedule so we can put it out there.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, right now, my schedule next semester, it's just 9:30 a.m. So that's something.
It's okay.
It's a little bit more doable than 8 a.m. So it's like not as bad. But yeah, I mean, my schedule, I don't know if I have one.
Right now. No, you go after the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
As you guys here. And so like with mine right though, I am kind of scared because you're talking about yours. I have a 9 a.m. biology next semester, mm-hmm. and then plus lab. Mm-hmm. And thankfully the lab is in the like around lunch. So it shouldn't be too bad, but I just don't want to do it. But it was the only one that worked the schedule. So
yeah. No, yeah, that I think like every semester is gonna be one sucky day. Like that was the first semester with 8 a.m. classes, and the second semester I had classes from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So wow, a full day just that. And I was, and also like so far these past two semesters I've gone to classes late. Like I mean not late, like they're late classes.
They're like
8 p.m. or 9 p.m. classes. This has been not the ideal schedule, but this is finally the ideal. Like I made a devotion to put the date of when those classes opened, and I was able to get my schedule for next semester the day right after those opened. So now I have one that's more ideal. It's from 9:30 a.m., which is still early, but we'll see. To 4 p.m. So 4 or 5.
How many classes are you taking?
It's 5 final classes. So
15 hours?
Yeah, around. I think this next semester is going to be 14 or 13. I don't think it's 13. But either way, I have to be a full-time student because I have one of those scholarships.
And where are you commuting from, like from there to UTA?
Say, it's from, I live in, it's Roanoke. So, yeah, Roanoke Trophy Club. I live in Trophy Club. So, it's like, 30, 40 minutes sometimes, depending on traffic.
It's about the same from here, from like Heller to Denton. It's about the same,
You said you used to play basketball, or you do, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, if you did have free time, would you play basketball, or do you have free time now?
No, these past 3 days were my free time. But
your free time?
I spent the whole day because it was my brother's birthday and my little brother. So we had to decorate and everything. That was my free time for that day. And then the other day, yesterday, was the only day I actually got to ask her. But I had some free time, and I spent the day with my girlfriend and her siblings. So, and then today, another free time.
Okay.
So, and then tomorrow, I go back to work at 6 a.m.
How about during the semester?
During the semester? Yeah, so the free time there doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist at all?
Depends. I mean, it'll be random.
Random.
Very random. It'll be sometimes at night, but yeah, it's not as often as I would like. But yeah, no, the weekend sometimes, there's going to be days. There's always a random day, but it's just, I never get a plan. Like, I'm never going to be like, okay, that's my free day. It's just never happens. I don't know what's coming up. So, and I heard in one of your podcasts, you 2 weeks in advance, you know what you're doing almost. And it's like, I wish, but it's just on my schedule is never out for work. It's out the Sunday of, so I'm like, I never know when I'm working. It's so that's why he's not the best manager, but.
Well, for like this podcast, like we have to plan earlier. Two different, completely different lives. You got to like find time in the middle for us to work. So
Right. That's
why we do like 2 meetings a week, every like Tuesday, Thursday. I was trying to communicate. Okay, what are we going to do? Does this time work for you? Okay, can you call this week? So we can plan out what's going on next and how far have you gotten editing done on this. And it's a lot of communication.
Yeah. And about basketball. I try to play, but I haven't played in the past year at all.
Wow.
Like, or maybe once or twice. So that's pretty much it. I haven't made an effort. And sometimes it's really the main reason my physical activity has been a lot more down. Like, I haven't had the drive to go work out as much as I did last year. Part of that is just getting exhausted from work or school, but I feel like I can still make time for it. I definitely this summer I will have the time, but I'm now starting Calculus 2 for this next month at TCC, and I'm working a little bit, so I don't know how much, but I definitely want to get back on basketball, and I definitely seek to play that more. But I never was in a team or anything. Only in middle school I was. So
okay.
But yeah, just it's still a hobby of mine.
Did you play with your friends, like with your boys?
Yeah, it was just with friends and stuff.
From high school?
Yeah, I never played for the school.
I mean, if I could give you one piece of advice, it would be to just hit up your boys, like the ones that you haven't talked to that much, or the ones that even especially you played with basketball with, because like if you can just set one time per month to go play, mm-hmm. it's like the best time of basketball you ever have, because it's just like reunion, having a good story time, playing some ball, and it'll just, you may only get to do it once that summer, but you'll remember it that whole summer.
And I'm planning that soon. So, and also I have some family who plays, who constantly has a group chat to play basketball with us.
That's good.
And, but I end up either having already a plan. It's either going to be, they either play Sunday mornings where I have church and I can't make it, or I have work also. So it's like, it's been a bad time, but it's in literally the times that they've been wanting to play, like they want to play tomorrow morning and I have work at 6 a.m. So it's like, I can't make it. And the mornings are the best time to play, because those are just the cooler days, because we play outside.
Perfect.
So.
No, that's in college, you have your girlfriend, and that's some one person you've talked to the most.
Yeah, and also biggest motivator right now.
Motivator right now. Yeah. Do you have anyone else, like any bros, a bro circle?
Yeah, I do. I do try to talk to them often. Not as often as I do with my girlfriend. Yeah. We talk constantly. I do. We have a Discord chat, and they're all there pretty frequently. Okay. We're trying to meet up this summer as well. I have a great circle around me. It's very healthy. And I really appreciate all these people around me. It's great. And you guys as well. It's great to be here.
No, it's good. Like, I mean, a support system, especially in college, when you go through those tough times, rough days. Like for me, I definitely, that call with my girlfriend at the end of the day is probably the best thing I can
have. It's the best thing to have.
Someone to vent to, someone to talk to. Just let it all out when you're having a rough day. Or even when you even have those great days, you just want to tell them, like, I just aced that test. It was so easy,
right?
And then they're happy for you. And it's amazing.
When
your girlfriend feel that.
That's what I'm saying. That's that, man.
I'm telling you, it's one of the best things. It's literally a life changer, because all of high school, I've always needed something like that. And I was maybe too young for a relationship. But even then, I always felt the need to talk. And I had some friends who would hear me out, but I'm a big talker, so I want to talk about everything, no matter how new it is. So if it's a test, if it's an assignment coming up, if it's an event, it's always a need, and I never get that. So having that person there always to talk to has been the best motivator and comforting feeling to ease my mind. And it really has drastically improved my life. And I've never had such a drive for school than I do now. So, and that really made me cut off like any games I used to play or anything. So,
and is she able to help you at all, like with coding, or do you guys like help each other a
lot? Yeah, we try to. So she's since she switched, she's actually behind me a little bit. Okay. Switch majors, yeah. So, but I've been able to help her, and she does have ideas that I never even thought of. So, she's been able to help me at times, and yeah, it's honestly a great environment to be in. We have a great relationship. I'm excited for the future. And I think it's definitely gonna not be easy, but I'm excited. It's been easy for the most part so far. So
that's what I've been trying to end. Like I said for a long time, dude, this guy went talk to girls and said, bro, I'm gonna make you a challenge.
I didn't talk to him as I had a girlfriend in high school.
I heard about that. I actually just watched your relationship podcast.
Oh, you did?
I'd like right before coming here, yeah. That was the one that got me curious. I was like, I'm gonna watch this. So I literally heard the entire thing. I heard I never knew you were in a relationship.
Dad won. Boy.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out well, but right, I won.
No, but you told me it was like very personal. Like you went out of your way to make a time and place and time to do that. It's definitely hard for me to sometimes get to meet with her. Sometimes she lives in Arlington, so at times it's not when I'm able to meet.
Yeah.
But It's been actually a lot easier than. But now this summer we can't as much. But going to school, she's at school, so it's been a lot easier for that.
Well, see, like my thing is, I don't want a long distance one, but I've seen that it's successful with you, and you're probably a little bit long distance.
Yes, too. No, a little bit, but not as much as.
Not as much.
I can see her like multiple times a week, which has been all year long. Like,
it's good. Oh, that's good. Awesome. Because mine's a little, it's a little worse. I do, she lives about 40, 45 minutes, like South Fort Worth, like Burleson area, kind of in Oakley.
Yeah.
So I got to drive like 8 on 35, and it takes me about sometimes an hour to get there. And then if not, when it's like during college, she's in Tarleton, which is an hour and a half drive.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, I only get to see her maybe, especially when she's out in Tarleton, like maybe once, twice a month. So it's a little different. It's like medium distance, but it's just that far enough distance where, like, dude, that's a long time, but you got to pay a lot of gas.
Yeah.
So
I'm a fool for what I just said. No, I see her a lot more often, so it's a lot easier for me. A lot more often. So yeah, it's very convenient for her to just be at the same school. So
now this podcast wouldn't be a podcast, in my view, if we didn't ask about your social media use.
Yeah.
So if you are comfortable.
Yeah.
Could we get your screens up?
Yes, of course. You want to pull it up?
Yeah, after. I'd say it'd be worse than me either.
you watch the social media episode?
Yeah.
60 hours already. So
60 hours. I have been trying to control it. I actually said, after watching that, or I haven't watched the full episode, but I saw clips and I was like, okay, I deleted some apps. I actually downloaded them, but I haven't been using them at all. I haven't even touched it. I don't know if I even have them. But all it was TikTok and Facebook and stuff, but I haven't done that at all. And I've set limits on Instagram. That's the one I spent the most on, Instagram and stuff.
That was good.
So let me actually pull it.
You should put some limits on there. I got it. Yeah,
I have them at the lowest limit because 15 minutes, that's all I have. But then even then I still cross that limit. I'm like, okay, remind me later. It's a bad time. But yeah, let's see this.
Let's see. This will be a motivator for both of us, Alex. Many of you.
Yeah.
He's calling me out over here.
He still sends me some TikToks. I'm like, there are interesting TikToks, Alex, but why are you on TikTok?
Well, okay, like there's a thing, right? I get most of my information. Like when I figure out stuff about what's going on in the world, it's all from like TikTok because that's where everybody's posting. It's kind of like what Twitter used to be, where everybody used to see everything on Twitter, but now it's all on TikTok.
So it looks like, because now on my phone, there wasn't any that I was registering already. I just turned on the setting for that. So it wasn't registering any screen time. I was fine. But I can definitely, yeah.
I even could add.
That's so weird. Yeah, no, it's not registering it. Dang it. But okay. I would give you an idea. I would say.
How much do you spend on social media per day?
Per day, I would, my guess, at least. Well, in the mornings, if it's a normal, regular day that I have nothing in the mornings, I would spend 2 hours on Instagram or like 2 hours on my phone easily when I wake up. It's a big time waster. It feels like horrible.
Per day, like during the semester?
That hasn't happened as much in the semester, but it's pretty bad. I mean, I would say if you're going to give an average per day, 2 hours per day could be the exact amount.
And during the semester, like when...
I would say,
like a regular weekday, you have college classes.
I would say, not as much. I would say maybe give that an hour per day. So I would say probably like an hour on those days, and which is only like two or three. I would give it 16 hours a week where I would spend on either YouTube or Instagram.
And then. Weekends, do you do much more on weekends, right?
Yeah, much more on weekends for sure. I would definitely wake up some weekend like on 10 a.m. and then I would be on my phone until 12 p.m. And then throughout studying, I would get easily an hour in, and that's really bad. Yeah, those are the worst days where I need to study and I do not want to. So the biggest distracting thing is that phone. Also. I made an effort to stop it, but really, like, screen time, other than that, has been, I mean, phone calls, I wouldn't count it, but those are constantly on my phone, just because my girlfriend and I talk constantly. Like, I mean, or that we're not doing something, and like we're almost on the phone all the time. So it would probably end up being around 60 hours a week, honestly.
That's where I was at. So
yeah.
So it was phone calls.
Phone calls at least, like, I would say, let's just give it 8 hours a day, almost. I mean, if I'm, it's just like at work, it's
different. Phone call a week's time and like phone call regular.
Yeah, a week. I would say give it 5 days a week on 8 hours a day. So
8 hours a day,
almost. I guess. Well, you can, I mean,
a day.
I don't know what to say.
8 hours a day.
Let me think. Let me 8 hours. No. Because I'm trying to say, I'm trying to give it an actual amount. If I'm on my phone, let me see. A phone call. Like, can I please? Is there something that tells me?
I feel like that's a lot.
It is a lot. No, I'm telling you, it is a lot.
Okay. It's a phone call, dude, including like FaceTime and stuff.
Yeah,
and
Instagram/YouTube.
No, Instagram/YouTube.
It said 16 per week.
Yeah, let's give that 16 per week. I would say give it 4 hours a day for phone calls.
That's more reasonable.
4 hours a day is more reasonable.
So 4 hours per day, and I'm assuming that's at night.
So in the morning, night.
Oh, half in the morning. Like, do you do it like during the intraday or?
Yeah, in the middle of the day as well. So,
like, okay.
Give it like an hour in the morning, 2 hours in the middle of the day, and an hour at night, something like that.
Okay.
But even then, even in those phone calls, I'm still doing something. So,
okay.
Whether I have my earbuds in, I'm on a phone call, I'm still doing everything I can with studying or anything.
So this would be like on a normal college day as well?
Yeah. Yes, most definitely.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So I want to break down at least two of your days. Give us your most tough day at college and give us your lightest day at college. How do you spend your day? Like, what's your toughest day?
My toughest day? You mean like busy?
Busy.
Yeah, like, I mean, definitely... For this past semester, it definitely ranges throughout each semester. But last semester, it was Mondays, the busiest day. I mean, I had around 5 classes to attend. So, it was 5. Something like that. So, yeah. I mean, until 10 p.m. 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So
10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, I've been able to see my girlfriend in the middle of those classes. So, it wasn't on my phone necessarily. But, yeah.
So, you wake up and what time? Around what time?
Wake up. I would say 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
and then be ready by 9:30-ish.
So there's no like scrolling time, I guess, in that.
Yeah, there's really not much scrolling time in those days.
So your first class is at 10 a.m. mm-hmm. on that day, mm-hmm. and then, so you get ready and get there by like 10:45.
Mm-hmm.
You have a class. When is that class?
Go
to.
So that class is until 11. Or no, 10:50, and then I have a class at 11.
10:50, and then you go have a class at 11?
Yeah.
You have an idea of what they are? Like, do you remember?
Like, what
the class names are?
Oh, yeah. The first class was government.
Okay, government.
The second class was physics.
Physics.
Third class was at, we had an hour break for lunch after that class, so it was at 1 p.m., that class.
Zell, 1 p.m. for that class.
Mm-hmm.
What was that class?
That was, it was called Intermediate Programming. So, the programming class.
Okay.
It was 13 to me. Yeah.
So, it's various, like government and physics.
Yeah, and they're
the basics.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that, it was a class called Discrete Structures. That was at, I believe it was 4 p.m. Yeah.
Oh, so you had some wait time, right?
I had some wait time there. Yeah, so I would either do work or just be with my girlfriend for those couple hours.
Okay.
And then for that last class, it was at, it was a lab at 7 p.m.
No, so they all had wait time there.
Hmm.
So
they also had what?
That class was, it was called, it was just a, it was an intro to computer science and engineering.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
And you got home by what time?
It was at like 11, because I would get, I would get home at 11-ish, because I'll either spend some more time with my girlfriend after that class and then leave. So I like to walk to the car. So around 30 minutes after that class, because that class ended at 10 p.m.
Okay. So now what is your lightest day?
Lightest day was... like for school, because I had 2 off days, like in the middle of the week, was just Tuesday and Thursday, and no school for those days. So, but I mean, I still constantly like did work all those days. So I guess those are my lives, but school day was Wednesday. That's the latest. And it was the same classes until 5:40, which is the end of the 4 p.m. class.
Okay.
So
now lightest day means like what you felt was, it could be like a rest day, it could be school day, like what?
Honestly, I would say, yeah, Tuesday where I had no classes.
Wednesday.
I would give it Wednesday because even after like having that 4 p.m. after that 4 p.m. class, I would literally not do anything for the rest because that was my break. Like after that Wednesday last class at 4 p.m., I would leave it and either spend time with my girlfriend for the day, for the rest of the day, and then head home. So I wouldn't worry about assignments.
Okay. So that white day, what time was your first class?
It was at 10 a.m. Same exact classes.
Okay.
Oh, it was the same exact.
Yeah. So they were Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes.
Except for that 7 p.m.
Except for the 7 p.m. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm doing this is that I'd like to see how you structure your day. And given this college, like class periods, I think I can commend you. Like that you structured your day so that you can get the most out of it when you go to class. Like you said, you structured it on Monday, Wednesday, Friday deal so they didn't have to go more. Here, you have a lot of wait time too. So
yeah, I do.
Yeah. I like to ask you what you do during it.
Yeah.
But before I do that, like, I like to comment on your break time. That's good as well because you need a break as well.
Wednesday was a perfect time for a break because it's like the middle of the week. You always have like that drain on Wednesdays almost. Like you want to get to Friday. So like that day was like a great time to just be done for the rest of the day after that 4 p.m. class. So it was a good break for that day. But during those breaks, if you're asking about those now, I would say I literally either ate lunch, spent time with my girlfriend, and do work in the library. But I would say most of those times I was with my girlfriend, just either talking, going somewhere to eat, or playing a card game because we also really know.
So do you have time to like devote to just schoolwork? And as I know you're with your girlfriend a lot, and that's weird.
Yeah.
But do you have time to devote to your schoolwork?
Yeah. So like that is during some of those breaks, but also Tuesday and Thursdays are those days for sure. And the weekends as well. It's very random. Schedule is very random, but it's like literally would wake up on Tuesday, sometimes get up very late, like to 12 p.m. to 1, and actually start those times and then go all the way until midnight or 1 a.m., 2 a.m. So those were basically every Tuesday, Thursday.
And what did you work?
The work was usually in the weekends. So
just weekends?
Yeah, and some random Tuesday, Thursdays. Some random days. I told him my schedule of school. So other than that, he would schedule me 15 hours a week. So it was either like an 8-hour shift on a Thursday or maybe a 4-hour shift on a Thursday. And then on weekends as well, like Saturday and Sunday, also scheduled those days for work. And then also half of that I would use for school. So like if I had to work at 4 p.m. to close, I would do schoolwork until then. Or if I had 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., I would do schoolwork after that.
Okay. So
I did use my schoolwork to make time for a random schedule like that. So it was always like that. It was like Tuesday, Thursday, all day. Because really the school days, I did not spend as much time on schoolwork. I was just in school. And breaks I would, but occasionally. So it was mainly those Tuesday, Thursday, and then the weekends.
Okay. So, all right. Alex, you have...
I did have a question. Yeah, but it's not related to that. Like, so recently, I don't know if you said it on the podcast, but you'd gotten baptized. And I was wondering, like, how you got to that point of, like, that you wanted to get baptized. And, like, if you could tell us a little bit of your story about that, I was just curious.
So, it was not a plan. Like, it was... I don't know if you guys know, he's a big social media guy now. His name is Cliff Natural, or Cliff Connectly. He is a debater on college campuses about Christianity and definitely talks about it a lot and through students and college campuses frequently. He went to Austin and various campuses around anywhere. and throughout the U.S. And so, yeah, he visited this church I don't normally go to, but it's called Fellowship Church.
Oh, I've been there because I saw him there at one of the events.
Yeah, so I went to every event he's been there so far.
Really?
So, yeah, I went to one of them. They were on Wednesday night. It was a, I forgot what it was exactly what it was called. But yeah, it was C3 nights or something like that. But yeah, he was. I heard he was gonna be there, so I made a trip with my girlfriend to go there. It was at 7 or 6 p.m. around there. So yeah, I went there, and after the message, there was an open opportunity that they always give throughout after the service, and they say if anyone wants to get baptized, it's on something or like. Basically he gave a wait time for this, and after like a pause, people who don't want to put themselves out there all the time, he continuously gave away things. Like, no, you can do it. Even if you're thinking you don't want to do it, you can do it and everything. So that wasn't the thing that was tripping me up most. It was, I always had an excuse during those times where they would be like, hey, you can get baptized right now. You can come to the front. We can baptize you. But I always was like, I feel like I'll always like be like, cause I'm usually with my family in church. So this time it was just with my girlfriend, but, usually it'll be like a time where I'm like, I don't want to inconvenience them by just making them way or something. Not that it's an inconvenience, but also I always somehow gave an excuse for it. And I feel like there was no excuse at this time. I was like, and it's not that it's an excuse at all. It's something that you should want to do. But it was something that I never, I always found a reason to avoid it, or like not even have to think about it. But this time I was like, I don't have that. I tried to go through it in my head. I was like, I don't have an excuse. I don't have a reason not to. This is a perfect time. So why not give this opportunity to do it? So I went ahead and gave my life to Christ that day, and I devoted a lot of my usual habits, and definitely my perspective on things has changed. And I've done a lot more of change in my life. So definitely a new outlook, a new perspective when I wake up in the morning. So
that's good.
It's great.
Could you go into some of those things? Like, what have you done so far?
So, I mean, a lot of it's, let me see. I never found, how do I say? Sometimes there's no reason to, like, I mean, it was my attitudes to doing work. There was not a reason I found, like, there wasn't any fulfillment that I felt like it was for my life. Like, so there's days where I sit there and contemplate if this is worth it, or if this will benefit me, or it's just...
Researching for, like, purpose? Is that where
you... Yeah, it was a lot about purpose. Like, I don't know the purpose of things sometimes, and a lot of doubt. A lot of doubt reaches me, and fall into bad thoughts of depressing thoughts or lustful thoughts, or that it's just different horrible habits that we have as sinners that we continuously do throughout the day. Those things felt like I never changed. I always excuse it. I'm like, this is just my imperfection as a human being on this earth.
And you just feel like you were weighted down by those.
Right. And yes, exactly. So it's just like, I never had that relieving eye opener of like, these aren't even things I have to excuse. Like, this is just, I just had to think differently. Like, you just not even give thought to it. And so, I mean, because people excuse these thoughts, and you almost don't realize what you're thinking about. I mean, these it's just a human issue that we are here with. I mean, we have this already ready to sin factor in our lives, and we always reflect, and I always try to reflect on this and continue to completely avoid them now, and not even give a thought to it, because giving thoughts to it, you almost feel like you're not doing anything bad, but it's not even healthy. Like, it's like not even a thing that should be applied to your life at all. So I mean, in this isn't anything specific, but Simple things like having either music that continuously doesn't approach to my own thinking, like whether it's cussing music or simple things that don't reflect who I am or don't, like, I don't want to portray myself as this, but I continue to listen to it. And that's not excusing it as a bad thing, because I'm not that, and I'm not associating myself with it. And as long as it doesn't affect me, I always give it a thought, well, I'm not like that, so it's not gonna affect me as long as I don't let it. However, there's times where I just let it affect me. It almost made me someone who I wasn't. So, and it's just not healthy. So those things I've been able to avoid now, and give myself a different purpose for things and avoid every thought. So whether it's good or bad, it's just the bad thoughts aren't supposed to be something you move forward with. And you should just have to fix it the moment you know it.
And before you got baptized, were you always a Christian? Or, like, for me, I was an atheist before I became one.
Yeah.
And I started to get it. Or, like, where were you before the baptism?
Yeah, so before my baptism, I never had... this is a big eye-opener for me after I got baptized. I never had a drive to look for Christ. I mean, I was raised to just go to church randomly. It's a very random thing. And that didn't feel real to me ever. And I always believed in God, but didn't actually think he was there. So that factor always was in my head, where I'm like, well, these intrusive thoughts are telling me that he's not even here, but I continue to still believe it. It's kind of, I'm not really believing, so I'm not searching for him or anything. I'm not even reading or just communicating. I'm not doing anything that involves me to reflect Jesus Christ. So it was a very confusing realization once I got baptized. And I honestly don't know. I didn't know the meaning of baptism. Now, so me as a Christian, I didn't ever have actual knowledge of Christianity. I just called myself a Christian because that's how I was raised. Mm-hmm. Well, myself, I never really gave any search. And even with things I've learned in my childhood, whether it was my parents or anybody in my family, those stories or things in the Bible never stuck with me. Like, I know them. I never knew them, and I still don't know, have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. But now I've gone to a point where I've created a drive for it, almost like watching a favorite show that I have, or almost like having a hobby. It's now a hobby for me to look for Christ, to watch, to read some verse, to read the Bible, to discuss it with people constantly, because that's how you learn, and that's how I found the healthiest factor to change my life. And it was so different. I never had that that feeling that I never had that drive. I never had that that realization that he was real or that it is real. But I've always had certain moments in my life where it felt like there. I always knew that there was a God, but whether it was Jesus, I couldn't identify that perspective at all. But now, with a lot of reasoning and logic and learning, I've been able to get to that point.
It's amazing. And would you say it was like from those Cliff Connectly videos that you find, and like did your eye like finally, your eyes opened and you're like, oh, I get it now, it's clicking.
Right. So a lot of it was that, and a lot of reason came through that. And not only that, realizing through communicating with people, whether it was on campus, people would come up to me inviting me, or talking to me to join a club. I never pushed myself to join those clubs, but I would have conversations with those people because I live 30 minutes away. I can't really make it to those. But I always had those conversations and devoted time for those conversations outside of my work schedule or anything to communicate with other Christians and to learn more. But it was mainly through the reasoning of Club Connectly that I was able to learn and realize certain things that I wasn't ever devoting myself to. I wasn't putting, implying myself with a life of Christ at all. I know about it. I always said it, but I never enforced myself to change my life at all.
So now I've done that, and now I'm doing that. So, and I will never stop doing it until I die. So it will always be a challenge. I'm never going to be able to understand anything. Not like no one will. The full Bible is, we're continuously learning until we die, but it's been a great journey to continuously have the motivation factor and have him first more than anything. So,
and I feel it's comforting too, because now once like we have this realization, our life has purpose now. Like before then, like what are we living for? And there's really nothing to live for if you don't have someone to look up to, or there's something that's to fulfill with. So
no.
When was this introspection on your own, more per se, like quiet nights alone, thinking a lot, because now you had a lot of time to yourself?
Right. Yeah.
Or was this like a group thing? Like you had buddies around you, you found that?
So the reason I believe I found this area of my life is mainly because when you're in school, you're always constantly around so many people. You don't really have the attention span to have your isolated moments. So you're always going to plan something with a bunch of friends. You're always talking with friends on a group chat. For me, in a lunch table, or like, I never had that isolation. But once I got to college, I was very isolated around everything. All my friends were gone that I had. And so, I mean, not gone, but I never connected with them as every day as I used to. And so it did drain me the first week or the first month, where I was getting really sad and feeling there was no purpose for this. Like I'm alone. I'm studying by myself all the time, and it's just the motivation's not there. And so my motivation started looking for something. I don't know what to look for. And it didn't really, I mean, once I got a girlfriend, motivation did bring up again to be working for something, which is a future, a family. And I plan to get there. However, Christ was still not in the center. And so my life felt like there was still not a purpose to it at the end. And so, I mean, always believed in God, but at the same time, never had a drive for it. Never had a drive for it. And so that, I feel like I wasn't believing at all. To an extent, I could say I never believed in Christ before until now. So, or it never had a loving factor to him until now. I mean, I still pray, but it almost felt like an act.
No, you're forcing yourself.
Right. It's almost like a forcing routine, and it wasn't even something that felt real sometimes. So, but a lot of the time I I still didn't find a purpose for a lot of prayers, and it's just, again, the routine factor that I went to. So now it's more of a conversation with the Heavenly Father that I have. So
it's great, man. That was great that you were able to like reunite. And
of course, it's a real relationship.
It's great. It's amazing. So,
what was your question that you asked? I can't remember.
Did I ask a question? Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah.
I think that was the part of the episode where we're ready to make the plan. So this is a part where we take the notes
mm-hmm.
that we had and then make a timeline for you.
Sure.
So right now you're at the college phase mm-hmm. and I love your story that we just had. So about right here is where he's there at college.
Right now. And it puts summer up here for the summer.
And then here is
the start of
fall.
And then everything, kind of like at the very end, is like far future.
So if I'll have one question, mm-hmm. simple answers. Mm-hmm. If there's one ideal thing in the future that you could put your thumb on, mm-hmm. what would it be? Unless you want to be in the future. Or the ideal you.
The ideal me, being a father, that's definitely the ideal that I want to have in the future.
What about starting a family?
Starting a family, yeah. That's definitely what I want.
So, in order to start a family, what do you think that the biggest thing that would Neat. Of course, you have a girlfriend. That's
most. Of course. But I mean, the biggest thing is having Christ in the middle of it, in the center. So other than that, you need a partner that shares those same values and to guide the same principles that you believe in. So
I presume she has the same values, right?
Of course. Yeah. So the only difference, which we're continuously going about, is that although people may say is minor, I would say them they being in a different line under Christianity, which is denominations. So he's in a different denomination than me. And I'm not in a certain denomination. I am either that or just a Christian.
That's what
it's just, yeah, exactly. It's just a believer in Christ. And so she is from a family raised with a denomination called Lutheran. Okay. And so I've done a lot more research with that and a lot more research with a bunch of denominations and everything of why it exists and why it's here and why, for what purpose people do believe in a certain denomination. And so for me, I found different reasons for it. I won't go into too much because I don't know there's a timeline that we won't. But I mean, if you guys want to, sure. I mean, obviously for me, I see it as a division. And so it's more of something that I don't believe should be. And although it's more complicated than that because we're complicated humans and we decide that we know one way of believing something and meaning that we know the correct way of believing something. And so there's a point where I realize I'm like, am I really a correct person for what I'm believing? Do I think I'm correct? And does the other person think they're correct? Of course they think they're correct. So really, I mean, I found that it's not about believing in what you think is, I mean, what's correct is everyone thinks their own that they're doing the correct thing always. And so I found that there's nothing that's 100% correct. And what you believe, it's a separation that we've done too, saying you go to your church and I go to mine, and we can't do that in society. And all, I mean, or if you're in a relationship, I mean, that's not how it works. In a marriage, we need to go to one. And or else it will become almost religion, or faith will become a political debate with your partner.
And I can ask you, have you tried going to her church at all?
Oh yeah. So I've done plenty of visiting her church and understanding, and she has done the same. And there hasn't been a moment where we feel we need to stick with one. So there, for me, I found one solution to this. And this is a thing called this is mainly guided by someone that I look up to, which is Cliff Natural, mm-hmm. Cliff Connectly. I've looked a lot into him, and I'm like, well, what denomination is he in? So he's not in a, he doesn't state a specific denomination. He says, he's an Orthodox Christian. And so there isn't a denomination he's a part of necessarily. He pastors in an interdenominational church, which I'd never heard of before.
Me neither, churches.
So yeah, this is a church where I feel actually brings the solution to what we need in society, which is all going to one church. And so this is basically the idea that they still go with, it's similar to non-denominational, where they go through the core common beliefs of Christianity. However, it still applies and acknowledges the ideas that are still Christ-centered through different denominations. And I haven't done as much research on it as much as I have or should. But I came to that idea even before acknowledging what this was, because I didn't know what it was either. Interdenominational, I never heard about. But I was like, I just want to be a Christian. It's not that I believe non-denominational churches do the best thing, because every church does different things. But a lot of it has been like what is the most correct. And there isn't necessarily a most correct church at all. There isn't any sort of feeling to that. It's your faith in Christ that matters more than anything. But you need to, for me, I need to find one place to go to. And so
one place to start that will acknowledge both of our beliefs and hopefully unite with the same core common beliefs that we need to focus on is that church. Because that's that idea of me being correct for going to one place and saying that these beliefs are more, it doesn't even make me correct as a Christian. I'm no better than anybody, and I'm no correct in anything. And if you are thinking you're correct, more correct in your own beliefs, then you have a problem with Christ. So it's like I never came to that realization without putting that much effort to this drive of finding Christ. So I found this to be a true value, and I continue to just say I'm just a Christian, because anybody who goes and says a certain type of Christian will immediately make assumptions about you. And this goes for just not Christian. It goes for politics. It goes for anything. If you call yourself a conservative or a liberal, you are now in a generalization through everybody's perspective. And now there is a whole amount of assumptions about you. And so me calling myself a certain type of Christian doesn't make me present myself as a person I need to present myself as, because it's the fault of people, and it's the fault of their actions and what they see on social media, because they always see one side and not another side. And social media has been the huge part about everything, whether it's politics or any beliefs that you have, has been driven by social media nowadays. And it's not through people, it's through people that you see on the screen. So,
and you don't want to be stereotyped as like,
exactly, this stereotyping has ruined a lot of things to say. So you can't, I have found not to call myself something,
because it like doesn't even go by like Christian. I just go by follower of Christ.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Me even calling myself a Christian, this is exactly what I mean. Like, even saying Christian sometimes will even say something. Oh, like,
yeah.
What? So let me say I'm a follower of Christ, and that's it. So whether you guys, it's just, there isn't, that's as simple as he is. So it gets more complicated as we go on, because we are complicated humans, and so this one word isn't enough nowadays. Like this idea of saying something isn't enough, and so we have to now specify. So it's been challenging to communicate about certain things, but me and my girlfriend I've gone there, and she has gone me, to both have an open mind, to both have open beliefs and understand each other more on what we think is right for both of us, not just one of us, and our families. It's not for one of us and our family. It's for both, for our future. So this applies to just following Christ, and that's it. So whether it's one side of belief, no, it's just following Christ. So where is the place for that you mean you both find? So that's where we're going to go.
I think it's good. You're in a good part in your relationship where you're just figuring things out.
Right, right.
And over time, you guys will compromise. And I hope for the both of you,
yeah,
that you will go to like the same church and you're raising cool in the same church.
Yeah.
And
she totally agrees with everything.
That's good. That's really good. I'm glad you all have, like, I think it's important to have those, like, obviously it's a deep conversation to have.
It's
not like some just comfortable conversation. Sometimes it can be awkward and stuff like that. And I think it's glad that you're having these kind of conversations early, so that way in the future, this will make more sense. And y'all, I'm only on the same path, because that's the main thing. It's like, right, as you're getting towards marriage, you guys have figured out path after path of like, okay, we agree here, we agree here.
Exactly. But yeah, long conversations. I'm telling you, it's like, it's been the consumption of this year, but that's been my free time. It's just conversations with my girlfriend, developing a relationship to get to that point in the future. Like from the get-go, the moment I met her, we've been honest to each other from the start.
See ya.
It's been just honesty through all it, and it feels so healthy. It feels amazing.
Oh yeah,
she's having something to be guilty about is gonna ruin your mental stability forever. So
yeah, everything you said, you made it seem like a super healthy relationship. So good on you, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
So if y'all was gonna say for like the starting summer, would you say like one of maybe your goals would be to maybe start trying to like look for that hobby of coding?
Yeah, that's one of my goals for sure. So having a hobby of coding is definitely the ideal.
Got it. We'll put that on for this summer. Sometime you're going to find some sort of hobby.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's good.
Do you have any ideas?
I definitely want to make some type of game that my brother's making. But some type of thing that allows me to work on it for a while.
So,
oh, well, okay.
So something that's not short, because that'll let me to do something else. But I also do want to draw. That's one of my biggest things. And that's something I would like to do as a career, but I'm not very good at it now. But I've always enjoyed it and had a drive for it. But I think as a career, it's very risky at the moment.
It's very risky, but I think it's important to keep those hobbies.
Keep those hobbies, yeah.
Right.
So I think I want to do that.
Maybe. Even if you don't find it stressful, like at least post it online and let people else see it.
Yeah, and I've done some of that. The issue is like making time for it. The moment I make time for it, I will get distracted and make more time for it. So I'm a very big perfectionist when it comes to that. So that one line I had to erase and make it. So.
And do you plan for this summer to like work extra hours or keep it?
Yeah, so, hours. So I mean, right now but now I'm running into June. So now I have a summer class. So now I have to reduce my work time and fully devote it to calculus. And so after that, though, definitely July and August, start of August, I will be working at least 30 hours.
30 hours a week.
A week, yeah, at least. So.
And do you have any certain, like, I would say, like, coding companies or computer science companies that you really are, like, striving to work for in the future?
Not exactly. I know my brother works for Raytheon. It's a security company for the government, I believe. But, I do. He says, there might be an opportunity for me there in the future, or even where my dad works, where he's an architect, but they also have some computer opportunities in his field. So not exactly, but Raytheon could be an option. So,
okay.
So, yeah.
What time do you say that you would be interested in internship? Like what summer is
that? I would say, yeah, definitely next summer.
Next summer.
Yeah, next summer. So after second year of college. And I actually plan to, right now, set to graduate in 2.5 years. So a little less than 4 years. So
less than 4 years, I
hope. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You got anything else?
So how much time are you spending like on with Christ like per week now?
Yeah, that was something I have I've been trying to work out. So the only problem with me is I want to read the Bible so bad, and that's not like a easy thing to say, but I have not had a drive or don't like to read, and that's because the moment I read a page, I forget that page.
So, yeah, I feel the same way.
And that's because I constantly think and constantly don't want... I think it's too boring to read a word
page. It's complex, right? It's
very... And that goes for textbooks. That goes for everything. So I don't even use my textbooks. I go straight to the practice problems and don't even read any of it. So that's my own fault for not developing that habit and that skill of reading. And that's been throughout all my high school and, so ever since I was a kid, so.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I struggle with the same thing like reading a Bible. And the main thing that I've found to help combat this is, like, find a small group that, like, a group of guys haven't really sit around. You guys come once a week, like, a book club kind of thing, and you just talk about that one chapter and everybody, everybody's read it, hopefully. So you go in and then you all just kind of speak it out and you learn more of different people's perspectives.
Right, and that's the beauty of it, Getting those perspectives is the most important thing. And so, there was a club that approached me, but their ideal is that church that they go to is the truth and their club name is Truth. So it's like, and that they will only go to heaven. So it's like a very...
It's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, they have very specific interpretations of the Bible like everybody does. And so that's the main issue, is that we're complicated humans. We have very different interpretations of everything in the Bible. And so they obviously have their own, and I can't necessarily congregate with that because apparently they know the truth. I don't know my truth, and I continuously want to find it. And so, I mean, I have a guide, and I know where to go, but I'm not going to act like I know everything because I continuously am going to learn until I die. So I'm not going to know, and I'm not going to say I know. I'm going to say I think this is true, and I believe this is true, and there's plenty of reasons under that. And so, depending on how strong those reasons are, is why. So, I mean, obviously that's to an extent. And so,
do you study with your girlfriend the Bible?
Yeah. So I've done a lot of
studying on certain topics of the Bible, and I plan to way further develop that. She suggested to go in a group as well, as you mentioned, and she wants to do that. We just have to find the right people.
You can also do like couples groups and stuff. Those can also be really good for
finding. And the only issue is, finding the same people who believe in not just one certain line of thinking, is one denomination, one that has an open mind to say they're Christian followers of Christ. That is the main thing that I'm looking at. Because even people who call themselves Christians don't necessarily say follower of Christ all the time. Or they even, I mean, it's down to, there's some churches who have reduced Christ to an ethics code of just being a good guy or a good person. That's something that is the biggest error. It's not about being a good guy. That's not how you get to heaven. It's through following Christ and having a relationship with him and applying it to your life. So that error has been hard to find through many people, is to find people who think the same way as just to have that following gear of Christ. And not saying that other people don't in those lines of thinking. It's just, and I'm not saying anything about that. I want to find that group, and one that doesn't think, it's mainly just not thinking that you're going to go to heaven only. Just one that says, I'm going to go to heaven, and if you don't believe the same thing, you're not. I'm like, okay. That makes sense. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, so.
Definitely try, like you said, you go to more non-denominational.
Of course.
Denominational churches. Or there's always groups.
Yeah.
I know sometimes at maybe UTA, they may even have, like.
Right. Yeah, so they have some of those, like a Baptist group. There's, Yeah, that's the only thing, is that there's been debates about that, about non-denominational. Is it really another, like, general? People are saying that's just another denomination.
Yeah, it's its own, right? It's its own, just without the...
Right, yeah. So that's the hard part. So, like...
I mean, I even get the word follower of Christ from Cliff Connectly, because I've never been watching the video.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'm a follower. Why would you call yourself a Christian? That's a religion. I don't follow a religion. I follow
Christ. Exactly. And then that's also another thing, is that people say, well, isn't that part of religion? Isn't faith part of religion? I'm like, yes, but I feel like there's a difference in religion and following Christ. There's still a difference. It's not the same thing. Following Christ is something radically different, and... It's just all about faith. It's all about your relationship. It's all about studying and really applying Christ into your life in every perspective. Like, you want to reflect yourself almost as in, you're never going to be him, but you want to reflect those attitudes, those actions, and just being someone that doesn't portray themselves as something that doesn't even involve Christ in your life. Yeah, no. So, yeah, those actions are the most important thing to do. Just a simple example is just cursing. For me, I found that something that doesn't reflect Christ at all. I mean, one swear word and I immediately turn out a character. It's like not even a character of mine. It's something of the world. So it's something that doesn't even show any... I don't know, any value to what I believe in my own thinking.
So it shows other people, right, when you curse around. I mean, I go to work.
Right.
People know, they immediately associate me as a Christian, and then I'll curse. I'm like, Al, you're cursing.
Yeah.
They're like, my apologies. Like, and it's bad representation, because now they look at, oh, well, you obviously don't follow the rules, right? You had just broken. Man, I try to tell people, I mean, I'm not perfect. Being part of, like, without learning crisis, like, you're one of the most imperfect people, and you're admitted to that you're imperfect.
Yeah, I mean, no, if I curse, it's not like, again, it's just something to be wary about. And like, if you're not wary about it, how are you gonna apply anything? Like, you're always gonna fail Christ. You're always gonna be imperfect. You're always gonna make mistakes. You're always gonna fail.
And it's the importance of...
Right. It's importance of having that drive to change it. You have to, okay, once you fail again, turn something around to change it again. So why is there something that you did? Why? And so taking that extra step to change it is what you need to do. It's not about, okay, oh, well, he forgives me. It's fine. It's not how it goes. But you don't do anything about it. I've learned way more of what repentance means. It's not just he forgives me. It's that you apply certain changes. That's how you repent. I mean, it's just to change your life, to change, if you decided to do something wrong, what steps are you going to do to change it?
Right.
and that's it. And so if you do it wrong again, what extra steps are you going to do?
Exactly. So like if you can't stop cursing, but it comes from the abuse you're listening to.
Exactly.
You got to
change it. And so some people don't. And so that's the point of like, is it affecting you or not? And some people, you know, I mean that and a lot of people think I'm crazy for that. Oh, the music you listen to, like that's
not exactly way.
But honestly, it's like you don't think it's affecting you, but sometimes you don't realize it, and like most of the time you don't realize it is affecting you. But eventually, you'll get to a certain habits that you most likely were motivated by something you were hearing, or something. And so that's it. I mean.
Also be the people around you, right? You don't think about how they're cursing, but then they're right in there, you think, oh, it's okay to curse, they're cursing.
Of course, yeah. No, it's very hard, especially if you're raised with it. So it's something that people struggle with, even if it's in the family. Like having that environment, being grown up in it is the toughest part. Having someone that so that's something that is difficult, but you really have to apply it. You have to change it. So because you have to create yourself a healthy perspective. I mean, I think that's something that's not going to be healthy for when you are a parent and you have kids.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, especially like with you and your girlfriend, like a big thing you can do, right, is like keeping yourself accountable.
Right.
Oh, she, like, my girl's exactly. Like, oh, why are you cursing?
Yeah, but, oh, my bad. Exactly. No, and that's what we do now. I mean, our first time I met her, she did curse more. And I definitely was like, well, how about this? Like, I don't want to do this in the future. So let's hold each other accountable, as you said. So let's switch it up. And then we immediately make a joke out of it. Like, the moment I curse or she curses the kids. Like, it's a funny joke. But but we definitely have done that. And we're very different from our family standpoints. And that's how everyone is. I mean, our parents got to choose a certain way of living. So obviously we get to do the same thing. So me, I always had this perspective where I had to do what my parents say, even as an adult, and I do. I currently do, but that's not something I won't do. But definitely finding my own perspective on things, as long as it's with the line that I believe is, or that is fair. That's something important to do, is realize that your parents are also imperfect. So, no matter what, you're gonna be a new human being when you move on to an adult life. And so what you want to do is gonna be different from your parents. And so it's gonna be a different life. So you just gotta make it healthier, because no matter what, your parents have made mistakes. Whether how bad it is, they're making mistakes. So you gotta not give yourself that perspective that what your parents say is truth. You have to follow Christ. That idea is gonna get you to where you really want to be in life. It's gonna give you true happiness.
It sounds like you've got like this family idea already packed in your mind. Like,
yeah,
you already got your sights set on it. So
that really is your main goal. You've talked about this whole time.
No.
So if we were like doing things, right? You leave here. Your main goal is to find a hobby.
Yeah,
like
I do.
Yeah. Then you start your summer classes, and you got 30 hours of work. So somewhere in between, you gotta find maybe that one time to hang out with your boys, get that one time in.
Sure.
Feel great.
Then we play some basketball.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was
no bad out there. It's hot.
Yeah, I know.
Like, do it at 10 p.m. sometimes.
10 p.m. Not yet.
I do because tennis at 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Really?
Yeah.
That's a good ball.
That's a good time. But, like, where at the. Where?
So, you live in Roanoke, right?
Yeah.
It was Cannon Park.
Cannon Park?
Is
that a business park? They shut down the lights.
The.
10 p.m.
Oh, yeah, the two. The one, Medlin. They we got some lights.
So they do, wait, but don't they shut that one?
And there's like a switch on the side.
Oh, okay.
If it doesn't work, then it doesn't.
Okay.
There's also the rec. If
it's supposed to be rec, just bring your own lamp. Yeah.
And so basically, you guys got that. So fun that one time. Then in the future, right? The main thing is like get that internship, graduate, get in at the very end. So once you get that, hopefully, you know, things get better with like, let's say, the economy with like jobs and finding jobs. I know right now it's kind of hard to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, say you settle down, you have a job. Your next step, right? Get married. You know, so maybe stay married for a little,
of course,
1 to 2 years,
of course,
and start a family. You know, and I think that's kind of sums up your. Hopefully, I mean that's about as far as I can see the picture right now.
So. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Rushing things, man, is just not good. You have to step by step. This is perfect. I really appreciate this hobby. I forgot about the coding thing, and I have to get on the Because that's not something I had to enjoy more than anything.
That's kind of like, right, why I did this, right? My hobby was like, okay, I'm going to do broadcasting journalism. I need to start figuring out why I like this. So I need to create something I like. And this has kind of become one of my hobbies. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. And I've done it for now a year and I still enjoy it. This is like my favorite time. Like, I've loved talking to you. You're super humble guy.
Yeah,
I've really gotten to know you really well now from like this only an hour long conversation, but like, this is what I love to do. And I figured like, I got to be able to start to network and get to know more people and still love what I'm doing.
So yeah,
Lucci, big help here.
Yeah.
Help me create this. And I love it now.
Yeah. No, I appreciate this, guys. Like, I mean, you're amazing. You guys are both amazing. I can tell you're also a humble guy in yourself, and you obviously are. So you guys are both, I mean, amazing people. You guys do amazing things. I appreciate it.
A good opportunity. In the immediate future,
you had some notes.
Yeah, the notes. So time-wise, I mean, it's variable, right? College life, right?
Right.
So yeah. There's a lot of leeway here and there. Like you said, this next semester, you got college courses in June. Mm-hmm. And then for the next semester, you're taking 14 credit hours. So it depends on when you ebb and flow, right?
Yeah.
I'd say just like whenever you have that, your time with your girlfriend,
right,
plan it into your schedule, because then after 2 weeks you'll probably know like when you have that those break times into it. Plan at least like you have your time, plan to have her and then have just by yourself, so that you can limit the stress,
right?
And then once you get into those 2 days, like are you going 3 days per week in this next semester?
Yeah, I am as well, and this time it's a little different. It's 3 days in a row, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Wednesday,
I have one class, so.
Okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Pro tip, maybe, do you find a place for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then come back home for like Friday through Monday? But that's what I did in semester, and I made it super easy. But just try to find a comfortable schedule each week so that you can know that I'm going to get here. And that probably will lessen the load off and you can get those assignments. Maybe you get all A's a semester as well.
That's the one of the hardest things. I was about to get all A's until the last physics test. I have all A's. Last physics test, I
killed it.
That was the saddest thing ever. But, you know, it's honestly, at times I think of how important GPA is, and seeing where my brother's at, his GPA wasn't perfect. So, that's a big motivator for me to know where my brother is. And in 10 years time, I can almost see myself in the same position. I definitely I would like to do bigger things, but being realistic is important as well. I aspire to do something way bigger, but I don't know the ideas yet. And I do want to find those. So I want to, again, I do have some passions for music, but I haven't grown as much into those as I should have. So.
We read a book recently. I don't know where you will post the episode, but it's called Atomic Habits. I mean, there's some little things in your life that you can really grab onto. Yeah. Once you find that, just do little things every day. So this coding here, the summer, find some things that you want to do just 30 minutes every day. And then it should be quite easy. Planning, exponentiate over time.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I found that should be great. And yeah, disciplining on a certain time to do something is hard. I mean, yeah, there's times where...
Have you started a calendar?
Have calendar?
Do you have a calendar?
I actually do with my girlfriend as well. Okay. So we have one, but we have certain dates. She put this on here for me, which is really
nice.
Sweet.
Nice.
Hey, girlfriend. So yeah, but I already knew about it. And I did do that. I do have some plans for the rest of it. So let's go.
Okay, cool. So... Yeah, I think this is...
And it's a great wrap. It's a good wrap.
Yeah, wrap up. So I did find out that you like card games. I remember we did a lot of card games at last.
Right.
So I had to bring this out.
Oh, perfect.
We're going to play a card game.
Heck yeah.
And you know the one.
Oh, I know, but...
He knows.
Oh, and what game are we playing?
I don't know. It's called Now, and I don't know what the rules.
Oh no!
That's the teacher. I'm not good at these games stuff. You don't know. You don't remember the rules.
I don't know the rules.
You don't know the rules.
I don't pick. Anyone can have the rules.
No, yeah. So the rules. There is Google. There is some rules. So
yeah,
they do vary
In some interpretations, I can't remember exactly. I mean, I know the rules for sure. I just don't know exactly what card for some of them. But I mean, it's going to be the same ones that we played with. Yeah. So there's definitely some that you're going to be like, oh, well, I don't know. But it's going to be like, but yeah, like some, I know, I mean, we played some crazy ones.
We played some crazy ones.
So, yeah.
You're going to be confused, Heller.
I feel like I'm about to get smoked.
So you're going to...
One thing is that we can't tell you the rules. So you've never played Mel. I've never played.
Yeah, so I'm screwed.
We can't tell you the rules, but yeah, good luck.
Okay.
You're gonna flow. So it's 5 cards each.
I guess I'm going to learn right from it. As soon as one of y'all is like, you can't do that.
But you'll know once the game starts.
Can't touch those cards yet.
Are we breaking a rule?
Okay. So. The game of Mal is about to begin. Please pick up your cards.
What's going on?
Card for talking. Card for delay of game.
I'll hold the queen of spades.
Oh, I held the queen of cards?
Right. Card for talking. Card for not saying doubles. Card for not knocking.
Okay.
Drawing.
All hail the queen of diamonds. Triple.
Oh. King of diamonds. All hail the king of diamonds.
Card for knocking twice, 2 times. Card for bending the wrong card.
Eight of spades, doubles.
Full hill of kings, spades.
Carper now saying the suit.
4 of spades. Draw it.
Joker of spades.
Drawing. Drawing. 6 of spades.
Drawing. Doubles.
You aren't space.
RFSA, Nanospace.
Lowe's.
Now.
Carpenter saying, have a nice day. Carpenter giving him a card.
I'm just gonna drop.
Doubles. Have a nice day. Now.
Dental. All hail the king.
Joker voice.
Sorry for talking.
Drawing.
Drawing.
Doubles. Now.
Drawing. Yama is over. All right, you did a lot better than we expected. That was
you learned fast.
Yeah, you learned really fast. People are
doing that like quirky. That's crazy. That's good.
I don't know, but it's that good. I still have, like.
Oh, yeah. All right. So basically, I will say one thing. Luciano can make up a rule if we play again or next time we play. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll keep it in mind. Keep it on like a crazy rule just for you. You know what? See the Wimper Hunters?
Yeah, yeah.
He made a crazy voice.
Yeah, it was something like, I can't remember.
It was like this, so.
I forgot how it went, but it was insane.
So you have to play like a card like that, and then.
Yeah.
Every time you play, if you play that same suit,
mm-hmm.
You had to do it perpendicular.
Oh, that's right.
That I was playing it like this.
It's yeah, like card replacement, that's crazy. No, that was not. That was
no one nice. Picked it up for about 2 days.
Yeah, that wasn't nice. That was not nice of him.
Well, we can't tell you anything.
Because I'll just watch ETV.
All right, Evan. Thank you so much.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It was a great
All time. Right. If you are watching this right now, thank you so much. This is Evan Jorge Munoz.
I was honored to be here.
He is one of our honored guests. He was our first guest. And Alex, do you have anything about our social media?
Check us out on all our social medias, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, X, all the platforms.
Do it.
We do a ton of work. You know, we use Elks Clip, and we're finally getting back with the schedule of, like, posting. So please check us out. We won't be posting any more, like, the same content. So they'll all be new, finally. We've been kind of reposting. So thank you all so much. This is Sights On.
Right. And, Evan, what's your Instagram?
Oh, my Instagram. It's _EvanPR. _ So yeah, I want to be famous. Okay,
we're checking it out.
But yeah, if you want to check it out, I do have some drawing stories up. So where I post some drawings, I basically do drawings where someone gives me a scribble and I make something out of it. I still have your scribble and I have not gone to it. I'm telling you, I haven't drawing, like, my drive for drawing is also bad. I like want to, and then I will literally not. Oh, I won't. I just won't. I just haven't made the time for a lot of it. But I do one drawing once every summer. Like, it's really, my motivation has been bad for a lot of things. Okay. And that's partly through how I saw things before. So, yeah,
I'm glad I've gone through a different perspective. But yeah.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great seeing you.
All right. This is the Sights On podcast with Richard and Alex. Thank you, Evan. Yeah. This is Sights On signing off.